Okay. Sorry about that.
One of the things I like to do is I do my own recordings. And so I record everything myself, and it's on my website. So all the lessons that I teach, right now there's probably over 400 lessons on my website that you can go to and listen to me teach. So it just makes it really nice that it's always available to everybody. So anyways, I consider myself a movement educator in what's called the Feldenkrais method. And this method, first of all, was developed by a man in the 1940s. He was Israeli, and he really looked at body mechanics and how the whole body moved and worked together. And so that's basically what I do. I was trained in the method. It's a four-year training program, and I look at how is the whole self working or operating. And as Amy said, it's not just for running, but for anything. So people come to me for anything, lower back pain, maybe surgery. I work with kids that have cerebral palsy. I work with people that have strokes. A lot of neurological issues I work with, where something isn't quite, the path isn't very clear. So I look to find how can I make it clearer. And what's really fun about what I do is that it's not very obvious. Sometimes you make something clearer in a very different place in the body that maybe won't seem very related, but it'll make a huge difference. So often, if running feels, or an activity feels for any of you, like difficult, your joints start to hurt, you feel sluggish, there's going to be something I can help you with that's going to change that. And if I can make that easier for you, you feel lighter, it feels less effort, you come back and nothing hurts, you're going to be a happier person, a happier runner. Does that make sense to everybody? So that's what I do. And what's, again, really fun about what I do is every person is different. So that's kind of the fun challenge for me is often you'll go to group settings and they'll want to teach you a certain format. And I'm going to look at each one of you and find out what do you need. Because maybe what somebody else needs is not what you need. So I'm really good at finding out, oh, this is what's going to be really useful for you. And that might not be useful for somebody else. Does that make sense? And sometimes we like try something and we keep trying it and it's like it's not showing up useful for us. So as Amy said, I will be available from lunchtime on to go out with each one of you. You just need to sign up, come and find me, but it's up to you, but I'm available and I'd love to do that with each one of you. Let's see what else there was. Okay, so how I got into the Feldenkrais method. The Feldenkrais method entered my life 28 years ago, so when I was 20 years old. That's when I was really competing highly and doing triathlons and marathons, and I was hit by a semi-truck on my bike. And I was actually pulled underneath the truck and almost lost my life. So I went through 9 surgeries on my left leg, my left side, and I broke my pelvis, my femur, lost 3 muscles in my left leg. And back then the doctor said that I would never run again. So I was really devastated because of my passion to run. And I seeked for looking for something that could help me. And it was 9 months after my accident, and I was in and out of multiple surgeries, so it took me about 9 months to stabilize, where I found the Feldenkrais method. And within a very short time, like 5 to 6 weeks, I was running again and I was out of pain. And it's kind of like meeting Amy and Christina. It's just when things like that in my life happen, it was just something in me said, this is what you're supposed to do for your life. And I had no idea what that meant, but I started the journey and got involved with the method. And before I actually became a practitioner, though, after starting the work, I went over to Europe and I competed in marathons and triathlons all over Europe and did quite well. When I was 23 years old, and I actually knocked 20 minutes off my marathon time after everything I had been through. So this work really taught me how to learn how to use my body really efficiently, because I've got a lot of hiccups, so to speak. So So anyways, from there, I did train to be a Feldenkrais practitioner, and I've been practicing now for the last 25 years. And you know what I'd really also like to bring to all of you today is my passion for running is my passion in some ways is to be a better person, to feel good about myself. And I'm not very attached to accomplishments or big outcomes, so to speak. In fact, I've never set a PR time ever in my life. I don't think that way. For me, how I think is running, when I get back from a run, no matter how the run is, like the other day when I went running, I just, you know how you have those days, you just feel sluggish? I was sluggish, you know? But it doesn't matter. It's just the fact that I went out and did the run. I know when I get back, I'm a more centered person. I feel like I'm a better mother to my daughter. I feel like I'm better handling conversations with people and stuff like that. So I do it because of what it gives me internally, you know, not for like that I have this next achievement that I have done. Does that make sense? And what I hope to encourage all of you today and this weekend is, I guess, is learning to set really tiny goals, really, really small goals. And this is often how I train people with running. So sometimes people are like, okay, I want to get to some distance, and then they start adding on like 20 minutes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like way too much time to add on. Like, shoot for just an extra 3 or 4 minutes, right? That's like half a mile. And if you just added 3 or 4 minutes on every week, you'll get to that 20 minutes in no time. And you do it in a way that is effortless, because 3 or 4 minutes isn't pushy. You know, but if you make these, I think often we set ourselves up for big accomplishments, and then we feel disappointed with ourselves, or we didn't get to that. And then I think we can lose sight of what the whole experience is about for ourselves. That kind of makes sense? So what I'm here to encourage you to just set really small, small goals. And then for me, what happens is every time, you know, you reach that goal, those 4 minutes, you're like, yes, and that didn't even feel a bit different. Really, you know, so then the next week you add on another 3 or 4 minutes and it still doesn't feel different. But see, you're already to 8 minutes now. So it's really a successful way of feeling awesome about yourself. And I think just to remember that every time you step out the door and you run, just to feel great about yourself, that you set aside that time for yourself, that you took care of yourself. And it's really hard as a mom and as a woman. I think we have very hard roles. You know, most of us are, if we are married, we're providing for a husband, we have children, we're scattered in 10 different directions, we're running our work. And often who gets the short end of the stick is ourselves. And that is something that running has pulled me through, that I've always kept my running there for myself. And I've been through a lot. I'm a single mom now. I've been divorced now 8 years. And I never thought I could do it. I never thought I could make it. And it was really scary for me. Like, oh my gosh, can I support this child and do this on my own? And it's like, oh, you know, and running kept me there. In fact, I had to get a treadmill in the beginning because I couldn't leave the house. I would never leave my daughter solo, right? So, but it's like still getting up at 5 in the morning, getting on my treadmill. Even if it meant 20 minutes, I still felt like, okay, I'm gonna be able to handle this day and move forward and do the things that I can do. So running has really been an incredible gift for me my whole life, to be able to carry out myself and being, like I said, a better person, to feeling strong and empowered inside of myself, and then to share that with others. Let's see what else I was going to talk about, a couple other things. I guess the other thing is, so I brought up my divorce as one thing, and then I already mentioned having my first accident, and then not too long ago I had another accident. So this winter, and it's often fluky things for me, but getting off the chairlift skiing, my right leg was pulled out to the side, and so my right kneecap became detached. And it wasn't so much painful, actually, as I just didn't have any stability to walk on my right leg. I didn't know what had happened to me, what was going on. And so from that, I went to see a doctor in Park City, where I live, Park City, Utah. And he told me I would never run again. And I thought, oh, here we go again. This is the second time in my life. And I was really, to be honest with you, I was really quite devastated. I went home and did a lot of crying and was really upset. But it didn't make a lot of sense to me because of my background and looking at my MRI and stuff, because nothing else was wrong with my knee, just my kneecap. So as I've done in the past, and I know a lot of with doctors and stuff, is I seeked out getting other opinions, which is always a good thing to do. Get lots and lots of information. So I went and saw a couple other doctors, and in that discovered that I found a better procedure, because this first doctor was recommending a full knee replacement, and I just didn't make sense to me. So anyways, I found another doctor. His name is Dr. Phil Davidson, who I adore. And he presented to me what he could do, that he could pull my kneecap back. He added a cap on the inside, resurfaced it, reattached it, and that I would run again. And just to hear the words that I could run again was probably the most important part. But it was very, very emotional for me. And so what was really important to me is he could tell I was really emotional and not ready for all of this. So he said, just go home and process it. And when you're ready for the surgery, we can do it. You know, but let's not sign you up. You know, they tend to want to sign you up right then, it's, you know, and get you going. So I knew he was the doctor for me. So March 7th is when I had my right knee surgery. And it's a pretty big surgery. It's one step below a replacement. And it was, you know, starting once again, all over again, going back to, you know, not being able to weight bear on crutches, ground zero. And not really knowing, I mean, some part of me knew, okay, yeah, I think you're going to be able to run again. But again, I didn't have any time frame. I didn't say in my mind, okay, by this time, you better be running. I just don't know how to think of that. So it's baby steps. So every day was a baby step. First step was just the physical therapist coming to the house and just doing some things. And, you know, it's really painful. It's a lot of pain. And just every day I just say to myself, if I could just do, again, a little bit more. Maybe I could do 4 repetitions of something, so the next day I'd shoot for 5 or 6. But in time, pretty soon, I was going to the physical therapist. And I'll never forget when I was at the physical therapist, they put me on this great bike that it's not connected, that you don't have to go around, because I couldn't go around. And so they just had me do like the bottom part of like a circle. But again, it was really emotional. Like I was just like, I had no sense in my leg that I was ever going to make that revolution. I couldn't feel it. I couldn't connect it. It wasn't there. It was just, I was really like, oh my gosh, this is all I can do. But I really quickly go from, this is all I can do, but you know, tomorrow's another day. And every day, so every day, you know, I just was able to kind of go a little bit more along the half circle until the day that I could make a full circle was just like amazing to me. It's like, oh my God, I made a whole revolution, right? And here's somebody that's been used to being out doing huge amounts of running and biking. It's like one revolution was a huge deal. So in many periods of my life, I feel like we often get challenged to kind of go back to a starting place. And it's having that determination, that confidence, that trust in yourself, that belief in yourself. And I think the most important thing, again, is just to start really small and honor that the smallest change is good enough. Because the next day, you have an opportunity for the next change. So anyways, I went from that to really getting into the gym and working my legs. So 3 months out in June, my doctor gave me the okay to run. And I was just like, oh my God. Because see, I hadn't set up a date. So I was really happy. I was like, oh my God, I can run again? So the first time I tried it, it was quite emotional for me on the treadmill when I actually felt like I could do running. And I couldn't even run because I had to just sit down and cry that it came back again. So since then, I have been running and building up my time, and I run both on the trails, which is what I really love the most, and on the road. But I'm pretty close to running about 16 miles again, which I saw my doctor this last week, and he said he's never had anybody recover from this surgery so quickly, so amazingly. But it wasn't from pushing. It's from this different place of really honoring yourself and just trusting in the steps that you take. So I hope to bring that to you when I go out with you and work with you individually today and tomorrow, and that I can find something that'll make running a little bit easier for you, a little more fun. For me, running is the greatest gift in the whole world for me. I mean, to go out every morning and run is amazing. I'm sure that most of you feel the same way because you're connected to it. So I hope I can bring that about, and that any questions that you have, anything that you want to ask me, just to feel free and open to ask me anything, to talk to me about anything. You might think it's not a big thing, but it may be something that can change your running, change your life. So, in saying that, I think, what else? Is there any questions? Let me ask that. Anybody like to ask a question? Yes. My website is Sharon Starika, Starika.com. And while you brought that out, one other thing is that I'd like to give you. I'm going to give you a place to go to. It's, a few months ago, they had a conference on running, and so I was one of the people on the panel that they had talk. And so I talked them into giving you guys like over a 50% discount if you want to go, and you can go to this specific link, and if you go on to it, then you can buy it and download it if you're interested. So they gathered several of us around the country to talk about running and different perspectives and things like that. So it's, you know how you have to do the HTTP, and then you have the two dots, and then you have two slashes, and then it's www.feldenkrais, which is FeldenKrais, fitness, so that's all one word, then .org, O-R-G, and then your slash, and then the word girl, G-I-R-L, slash. And so that's just for you guys. So if you're interested, like I said, I had him mark it down so you get 50% off from that. Yes?
Where do you see most people's problems with their mechanics? In their arms, their hips, backs?
Well, that's a great question. It's a great question. And that's actually a little hard question. It's kind of everything. I would say how I look at it is how a person lives their life. So to give you an example, if I was working with a gentleman that sits at a computer all day, okay, and he's really into his computer, often people at their computers end up being really rounded like this, and their shoulders. So if this is folded like this, this is going to play a big part to how they run. So they don't know how to be up here. So, and then it's even worse if they go out at the end of the day because they've been sitting all day like this. So this will compromise their running. Does that make sense? So what you do in your life will show up in your running. If you're athletic, moving around a lot of time, if you're a mother, and you're carrying kids, and you might laterally shift to one hip, trust me, that's gonna show up. I'll see it right away. And so it could be that, or you're carrying, you know how it is, you're trying to carry the kid and the purse and all that stuff. So a lateral shift, you know, so it could be that, it could be the chest. I think one of the most common, and what I'm gonna teach you tomorrow morning, and then with the whole group, but individually I can work with you on, the most common thing is people end up thinking of running as lifting their legs like this. Okay?
And if you think about it, I'm not really moving forward, right? I'm lifting my legs. But this isn't making me propel forward. So what propels you forward? So it's not lifting your legs. Okay, it's the ability actually, and this is what we'll go through, is that your leg needs to come behind you. And it's something nobody else talks about because they haven't studied the mechanics like I have. So to really propel forward, a leg has to be behind and a leg has to be forward. So, and that's what we're gonna really, so I'd say the legs. So often people, I see people like bent over and they're like trying to run like this and it's like, so that's a tremendous amount of effort. You're not getting very far because you're basically running on top of yourself, taking little steps. So that's going to be a lot more effort than other things. So, but shoulders, so the so again, it goes back to what how you are in your body, in your life. Great question. Yes? I take off one day. I usually run, I've been kind of running, I used to run 5 days a week. I've been running 6 days right now to just bring my right leg back to me. And you'll see today, it's still, there's still gaps. And so part of, you know, there's a couple things about being a really incredible, successful runner is repetition, and then you also need to recover. And so to get my leg back, I've been doing 6 days, but usually when I'm really, the rest of my life, I try to stay at 5 days, but yes. And so I'm out there, yeah, 6 days. And right now I've been mixing it up. Usually I mix it up, but so I do like 3 days that I'm on like a gravel trail flat, and then I do 3 days that I run the mountains and the trails. Because again, that type of running is totally different. And I've had to really work with my gait of my getting my leg back. So other questions? Yes?
What kind of cross training do you do?
Great question. You know, for the first time in my life last year, I guess, not the winter we had, the winter before, 2 winters ago, right? I chose to take running off because I found when I first moved here, it just seemed really too hard to run. And then, like, I mean, some days I went out and just the breathing and the cold, and like I found the little hairs in my nostrils were freezing up and I was like, what am I doing? So I decided to just can running for the whole winter, and I took up skate skiing, which I'd never done. I've downhill since I was 3. And it was incredible. It was incredibly humbling because I went out there thinking, well, I can run, you know. I couldn't even make it up a little hill and I was just like out of breath. I was like, whoa, this is really different. So I took up skate skiing and then I also downhill. So in the winter, pretty much I don't even run. I do skate skiing, downhill, in the gym, spin classes, and then I do a lot of yoga. So I do yoga at least 2 times a week, sometimes 3 times a week. So that would be, you brought me to another key point, is stretching is critical. And so that's another important thing about biomechanics. When you're running, when you're hiking, when you're playing tennis, all of those activities are compressive. You're asking the muscles to tighten and compress because you're using them. So if you don't lengthen the muscles back out, even cycling is very compressive on the quads. If you don't lengthen them out, you just compress, 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 right? That's another way of your function going downhill in your efficiency. Your legs are going to feel very heavy, very sluggish. You won't have a bounce in your legs anymore. So I stretch a good 15 to 30 minutes every time when I come back from a run. That's just part of it. So that's critical. I know it's really easy to come in and go. So even if you can do 10 to 15 minutes, do 10 to 15 minutes. And I would be happy to show you guys like the critical things to do for the different muscle groups where you can get it done in like 10 minutes. But that way you've elongated your muscles back out. Great question. So those are the things that I do. So back to, because I did that 2 years ago, so I took off and just did cross-country skiing. When I came back last year, summer to run, I ran my five best, fastest races of my life. So, and it was pretty intense. I ran five races in 11 weeks. Two half marathons, a 16 miler, and two marathons. And what, three of them were, you know, in Park City, the triple challenge. So I was really on. So I kind of went for it, but it was an awful lot to do all at once. Any other questions? Yes?
Do you have time to show us a couple of stretches while you're up there looking all beautiful?
Oh, sure, yeah, I can take off my shoes and I can do that. Would you guys like that?
Yeah.
I mean, this is your time, so, you know, I don't want to just be, I don't want this to be about me just talking, so I'd be happy to do that. There was one other question. Yes?
I was just wondering if your daughter runs.
You know, she does a little bit. Just because she's 13 going on 14. She thinks she's 14, but she's really 13. She always like says to everybody, I'm 14. I'm like, you can't say that at the airport, honey, you're 13. So she does a little bit. I think at this age, you really keep it to about 20 minutes. The reason I encourage her, and this is a great thing to bring up for all you moms, and then I'll get back to the stretches. But my daughter has a learning disability. And she has, it's called auditory phonetics disability, and then that's also linked to some ADD, ADHD. And there's a great doctor, I do a lot of research, and I found a great guy out in California. His name is Dr. Amen, and you can always go online, amenclinics.com. He's in Laguna. Anyways, he's developed a special machine. There's only four in the country that reads your brain and tells what part of your brain is actually operating, not operating, to help kids with learning disabilities and ADD and blah, blah, blah. So getting to this, what he found, two biggest common things for ADD and ADHD is nutrition and exercise. So kids that wheat, dairy, we don't do, those two things, tremendous effect, but exercise. So when you exercise, and especially running more than anything, it's not just the endorphins, but it's the part of your brain that connects to the serotonin. Serotonin does a couple things. It makes you feel good. So that's why you feel good after running and empowered. But it also creates an incredible ability to think and focus. So one of the reasons I got her, I said, you need to start running, because we went out to the clinic and they kind of said, you know, if you don't want to take medication, you need to run. This last year when she started running and we got off dairy and wheat, she improved four reading grade levels. So, and that was the only change we made. So they couldn't believe how much she improved in 1 year at school. They had never seen a child do so well. So just 20 minutes, because she's young and she's not fully developed in the bones and stuff, but just getting that serotonin and stuff and then changing the diet, she was pretty thrilled. She's actually up to her own reading grade level now. She's going to go into eighth grade. So it's a little hard, though, with her, because sometimes me being her mom, I have to really let her do her own thing. Like, she doesn't want to go running with me. Like, Mom, let me do my own thing, and I let her do her own thing. Sometimes it can be hard, a mom-daughter thing. Are there any other questions before maybe I do the...
Do you follow a pretty strict nutrition plan?
For the most part, I do. And that's a great question, too. Such a great question.
Do you take me through your day, like what you would eat?
Well, the first thing that I do, I mean, part of like talking about my daughter is that I have the same problem. I've got a lot of intestinal issues. So because of that, I can't do dairy. It took me way longer in life to figure that out. I was always wondering that after I had a latte, why I was in trouble at the bathroom. So it was like, okay, what's going on with me? So I actually get this special protein powder that's made out of rice and peas. If any of you have anything like me that's got any kind of inflammatory, I'm very inflammatory reactive, intestinal issues, this stuff saved my life. It was the only way I could get protein, because most of them are whey, which comes from milk, and that would make me sick. So I take that in the morning, and they say that after you exercise, run, you have 30 minutes that you should take the protein. So I drink that right when I get back from my run. And I mix it with just fresh fruit, and then that takes me to lunch. And lunch is usually, I eat a lot of nuts. Sometimes I just don't have time. I'm not a sandwich girl, and of course that's bread. So I don't have time sometimes to do what's a lunch. So I actually carry nuts with me, raw nuts, almonds, pecans, and cashews. And I can do that, an apple. Sometimes I just carry veggies, like last night getting my daughter from the airport. It was like a weird time, and the flight was coming in early, and so I had packed a bunch of raw veggies and some hummus. So when I'm driving in the airport, you know, driving down. So that kind of stuff. But I eat a lot of protein. I do eat meat. I end up craving meat at least once a week, a lot of chicken, a lot of fish, potatoes, rice. Everything's rice-based in our house. So you can get pasta, bread, everything rice-based because we don't do the wheat. And I would just encourage any of you women, if you know what I mean by being inflammatory, it's like you get that sense that, you know, it's like if you went and had soy sauce, but you didn't. Like you just ate a couple pieces of bread, or you had a bagel. I mean, bagels are like one of the worst. And you just feel like you're bloating and swelling. That's inflammation. And what your body does is it pulls water, all the water that's in your body, to try to process that because you're not super efficient at it. And I've always had this deficiency. So because I like to feel good, I just like to feel good. And I love having a lot of energy and being happy. So I do what makes me feel good, because if I don't, I don't like feeling sluggish. And I mean, I spent so much time like that. When I was a kid, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand what was not making me feel good. So I went through that awful time when I was in college where I actually just skipped meals because I was like, eating didn't make me feel good. It made me feel worse. So I thought, well, let's just not eat for a while, you know? That's not a good option. So it took me a while to figure it out. But so I do. I eat a lot of protein because running muscles need protein. Rice. If I do pasta, it's rice pasta. A lot of veggies. Just, I think, common sense stuff. It's how my daughter eats, too. You know? I mean, drink wine. That's good, too. Always drink wine. Right? I mean, you know, you gotta cheat some, right? You find what you can cheat with. I can cheat with wine. I can't cheat with things like cupcakes, even though they've got, you know, gluten-free cupcakes. Okay, so we'll do the stretches, and any last question, and then I'll show you those things. I think actually what I'd like you guys to do, if you're okay with it, is we all get up and do them. Yeah, is that a good idea? Is that okay, you guys? I think that would be good. Okay. I guess I can still hold it. I just wanted to get my shoes off and get down here.
I'll be your stand.
Okay. So let's move away from, we got room. Let's come up towards me. There we go. Okay. So the first thing I do coming away from, coming back from a run is like the wide, I'm sure you guys have done this, the wide leg stretch. So your inner thighs really, because you've been running here, get tight. So, and for me, I have to go into it carefully because of my knees. So I often start with my knees bent and then bend over. And then once I get so far over, I get a hold of my ankles and then I think of sticking my butt up towards the ceiling. Let it shine. And
let's see it, ladies.
Yeah, stick. And so then at that point, you can lock, you know, kind of lock out your knees, and you're going to feel it all along the back, the hamstrings. And then if you feel like it, you can make it wider. You know, as you kind of hang here, you might feel like, oh, I can go a little wider. So the inner thighs and the back of the legs, and even then you can even, like, sometimes I'll cross my arms like this and I just let my trunk hang down. It takes all this pressure off your lower back. Does that feel good?
Yeah.
Doesn't that feel good?
Yeah.
So, and not to rush it. You just kind of hang out here for like 15, 20 seconds. And then I go from that into a side stretch. Now, you'll see I can do it real good on one side. So then I come over here. And this is where your quad's really going to get it. Yeah. right? And then this really should be straight. So this leg should be straight out, and you should really feel it in there, the groin, in these areas we don't tend to want to stretch. So I go from there, and then we're going to go to the other side, but you'll see I can't quite do that. So this is where I take baby steps. I just do, this is about as far as I can go on this leg. And that's good enough, right? A few months ago, couldn't even fathom doing this. Okay, so that's good enough. And then you come back to the center, and then you come back up. And then I do for the IT bands, the cross the legs. So just, I'm right now crossing the left over the right. You want both feet to point forward, and then you're gonna come down. Again, when you're coming down, feel free to bend your knees. You don't need to lock your knees, so your knees can be bent, because some people can't. What's more important is that your hands come all the way down. And then, if your knees are bent, you try to, again, stick your butt up towards the sky. So you try to straighten. Now, you should really feel this along the sides and in the calves, yes? Especially the leg that's behind. Like, it should really go into that calf. Yeah? Okay. I'm making sure. And make sure, again, be nice with your knees. So you bend your knees and then straighten. Okay, and then we're going to cross the other way. And this will be telling to, oops, sorry. This is telling to you, one side's going to feel way easier than the other. Even for me. So just notice, like, wow, the one side is so much easier. And where you might feel the pull in a different place, like on this side for me, the pull is more on the outside of my left calf. So I kind of just soften the knees and straighten and just get that nice, good stretch. Is everybody getting a good stretch? Excellent. So, and maybe somebody could be writing these down. It'd be nice, and then we could even print it up for you guys. So the first one was the leg stretch, and then the side to side, and then doing these crossovers. And then I go to some place where there's a stair or a step. So you guys can come up here. Hopefully you have a stair at home or step. You look for something. Okay, so this is going to be combining. This is kind of my work where you combine stuff. You guys can all come up. There's tons of room. And you step with one leg, and you're going to lunge forward. And this is the key. It's the back leg you want to pay attention to. Stretching out here in all the front here. This is good, too, to bend. But do you feel the stretch here? So you kind of have your pelvis go forward to feel that stretch. Now, there's two parts to it. Now you're going to go backwards to straighten this leg and flex your foot and bend over, and you're going to get the whole back side of that leg. So you're kind of stretching from one leg to the other. So you feel that? Everybody feels that. Then you come back up, and you lunge, and you let the other leg stretch out. Feel that? Right? And then this is the hard one, is stretching here. And I can always write these down. Okay, and let's try the other leg. So then you go to the other leg. So again, for me, this is about as far as I can go with the lunge. And the leg that I focus on is this side stretching out, the left side. And then you pivot back, and you really want to stretch the back of that leg. I mean, it should be killer. It's tight for me, guys. This is not easy, but this is what I do. And then you bend again. Stretch that other groin hip area out like a hip lunge, and then go back. So I like doing this on a stair, you know, or, you know, the stairs. A bench, something like that, but you can find it. And then there's just two last ones. The other two are that you guys, I'm sure, all have done, right? Grabbing the foot, right, like this. Okay, but the key thing is what a lot of people do is this. So this is where I get into the biomechanics of things. If you do this, if you watch this side, all you're doing is pivoting on that hip. You're not doing any kind of stretching. So I see people doing this all the time, and they're not doing anything. You want to stay standing upright. You get your foot, and what you want to do is tuck your pelvis under and then pull the thigh back. But you're not allowed to move the pelvis. Now you'll stretch the quad. You feel the difference? So don't be like a flamingo. This is a flamingo, right? Does that make sense? So it's all in how you do things. So if you tuck the pelvis under, you just then want to pull that thigh back, but don't let the pelvis move and don't let the back move. That's for your quad. So you do eat. Does everybody feel that? You feel how different that is than doing the flamingo thing? Okay, and then the last one is stretching your Achilles and your heel. So if you have, again, back to stairs, you drop one heel down at a time and you with your shoes on. Or I really recommend a rocker. Do you guys know what the rockers are? They're super inexpensive. It's blue, because what happens is you put your foot in there, and the more that you get the stretch, the bottom's round, so it tilts and tilts and tilts. So you get a really incredible stretch in your calf, Achilles. You could just go online. I think it's called Rocker, Foot Rocker, or Salt Lake Running, but I think you could just look Rocker. So that's the last one. That's like my little mini routine. That's my when I'm in a hurry, right? You can do that in 10 minutes, right? Does that seem doable? How do your legs feel right now? Did that help a little bit after sitting? Okay. I think maybe do we have time for one more question, then move on to the next person. Oh, such a great question. So I'll answer it quickly because I know that they probably want to go on to the next person. So it's a great question. So if you can think of it this way, I like to make things really simple. If you were to draw on your paper a triangle for me, so let's draw a triangle. And at the top of the triangle, you're going to put pain. Okay, and then one side of the triangle, you're going to put over moving. On the other side of the triangle, you're going to put not moving. So here's the tricky thing. Pain comes from either two places or can be in both of those places. Pain isn't necessarily an overusage. It can also be an underusage or can be both. Pain is when there's an imbalance. And the imbalance, again, comes back to how do you move in your life or what's happened to you, any kind of traumas like what I've been through. And so it's how to bring balance or more organization, fluidity, within those imbalances. Okay? So like with me, I mean, going through this right knee surgery, it was a huge thing because I'd had 9 surgeries on my left leg. Really, for the bulk of my life, my right leg has been the rock of Gibraltar. And now all of a sudden, I have to tell the left leg, you know what, you have to step up to par. So we have to be able to do that. And that's what my work is about, is teaching your body how to be functional, not to get trapped into an area not working and then an area overworking. So the pain can be either places or both. Does that make sense? And also not to get too attached. Like some people will come to me, let's say they have lower back pain and they think it's about their back. Like one of my clients, she was a Olympic ice skater. And she has knee problems and hip problems. And she had had knee surgery. Actually, let me say it back. She came to me for back issues and hip issues, but she had knee surgery. And so I just watched her body mechanics and the way, and what she did is she never learned after her knee surgery to do what I'm going to show you, is to extend like this. So she always kind of tucked under and collapsed. So she had all this disc problems, but it really wasn't about her back. It was what she was doing in her leg. And as soon as I taught her what to do in her leg and her hip, her back's never bothered her again. So wherever you experience the pain may not be the problem, and that's what I look at. Where is it coming from? What are you doing with yourself? What can I teach you to do differently? Okay, I think I have well taken my time here. So I thank you so much, and I look forward to, I hope you guys all take advantage of me and spend some time with me. I'd love it. And thank you for listening to me and having me here. Thank you, Amy and Christina.
We just want to give her a coming out, and I hope you do eat chocolate.
Yes!
Okay, you put my favorite chocolates yes. in there. The Mercy chocolate. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was just meant to be.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to do some drawing. So some prizes. Okay. And we're going to have drawings throughout the day. We are giving away some fun things, and then our big
I didn't overtalk.
And we also will be giving away
we'll
interview.
Find out where the sign up is. Yeah.
So,
yeah, did I do okay?
Everyone's so into it too.
Yes. I'm a little worried if I overtalk.
The first drawing is going for this awesome gingerbread water bottle.
Oh, this is so great.
Yeah, I'm glad I got everybody up. I think that was really good. Get everybody up instead of them watching me.
And you can go back to our table and do it.
This is nice.
Wear that with pride.